Hi, this is Barry Lissett, Informs, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. You're listening to Science of Better, a series of podcasts about ways that analytics and math modeling help people like you and organizations like your own. Once upon a time in the American West, a young boy sitting in a Conestoga wagon going for months from Ohio to California must have asked his father, "Are we there yet?" Travel and indeed the internet have sped up today, yet as we sit before a computer screen waiting for our airplane flight search to come up, we find ourselves wondering when we'll get to the end too. In today's segment, we talk to Ryan W. Buell, a doctoral student at Harvard Business School, and Professor Michael I. Norton, an associate professor at the school. Together, they've written a study, "The Labor Illusion: How Operational Transparency Increases Perceived Value." It appears in the current issue of the Informs Journal of Management Science. A shorter version appeared this spring in Harvard Business Review. Ryan, welcome to the Science of Better.
Thanks for having us, Barry.
Professor Norton, welcome.
Thank you.
Was there a particular moment when you were staring at your screen, waiting for a download to complete, that led you to conduct the experiments that led to this study?
Well, prior to starting graduate school, I was involved in a number of entrepreneurial ventures.
Uh-huh.
And one of the more recent ones was to develop an online collaborative publication tool where people could work together to build books that they would give as gifts to people who mattered in their lives. What we found was, as we were putting this resource together, people were investing all kinds of time in the process of putting the books together. But at the very last moment, you would hit the Create Book button, and the technology would immediately, instantaneously deliver this beautiful book to you. People had put in all kinds of effort, the customer had, and the technology was able to turn out this product immediately. And my partner and I sat down and we used the system for the first time and we thought, wow, that was anticlimactic and dissatisfying.
It was a bit of a downer.
And so we talked about it and we thought, you know, it really would be really nice if we could see what the technology was doing for us and understand the value that was being created. And I think that was really the spark that generated the idea that ultimately became this paper.
So it wasn't actually the long wait that started it. It was the instantaneous nature of the internet.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And it seemed very counterintuitive that we would actually, our solution to it, which tested very well initially with our pilot customers, was to add a delay and say, we're now producing your book. Here are the things that's going on behind the scenes. And really, we introduced a 5-minute delay into the system before we delivered a book to the customer. And we thought, wow, now that doesn't seem like it would be in the customer's best interest or make the customer more satisfied with the service. And it turned out that it really did. And then when I began looking around at lots of the Web 2.0 and now bridging Web 3.0 companies out there, we find that really this making customers wait or helping customers understand the value that's being created by the technology may really have broader implications that just go beyond this one application.
Let's turn for a moment back to the impatient side of the internet. You write that the longer people wait, the more dissatisfied they become with their online experience, which is a little bit different than what you were just saying. This, of course, has important implications for online retailers. What is the issue here?
I think so. In general, it is the case that people don't like to wait for things. So we like fast food. We like to get things right away. We love Zappos because they send us our packages faster than they said they would. But at least in some cases, and so the longer it takes, the more upset we get and the angrier we get. And the intuition that Ryan had was speed is great. So in general, we want things faster rather than slower. But sometimes things can go so quickly that you actually, and you'd think people would say, aha, quicker is always better, so I'll value the service more. The intuition was that sometimes it comes to you so quickly that you feel as though the company didn't do any work for you. So if you compare it to the old world, where people actually interacted face-to-face when they bought things, you could see somebody working for you. You could see them putting if you went to Gap, you could see them kind of wrapping up your clothes and ringing up the register and all these sorts of human behaviors. And you wanted them to go quickly so you could get out of the store, but you could see the effort they were exerting on your behalf. When you order on the Gap online, the person is gone, And suddenly it feels like no one is doing any work for you. So this is all automatic, and you don't think about people in a warehouse, people sort of managing the website. And therefore it starts to feel as though Gap isn't really doing that much for you.
So there's a perceived lack of value because things are happening without any gears turning or any humans acting in front of you?
That's exactly right. And therefore you say, why am I paying so much money? I should be paying less. And then you become ironically dissatisfied the faster they do it for you because you feel like they're not really doing enough for you at all.
This whole perception of the Internet being instantaneous and easy and without cost that used to exist 10 years ago still has some remnants today, in other words.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, Google is a company that has accustomed us to being instantaneous at all times. So we get our searches immediately, and you can imagine how interesting it would be if Google started to charge us. So they've accustomed us to saying everything should come to you right away no matter what, and it will be perfect. We've accustomed ourselves now to these different kinds of waiting than we used to have in the real world when we used to have to walk to the library and look in a card catalog. We've really changed our perceptions of how long things should take and how much effort we should have to put in and the company should have to put in to deliver us our results.
Let's look at a contrast between different things that happen on the screen when you're waiting. If you're shopping online at, say, Orbitz, and you're waiting for an online search to complete, you see what's called, I guess, a process bar. The two of you tested it for an alternative animation that shows the tasks that are being done while you wait. So your screen might say, we're searching American Airlines, we're searching Southwest, Delta, so forth. Can you describe this thing that you created a little more and explain why you call it a labor illusion?
Sure. So the real-world application of this, where we see operational transparency in practice in the online travel search domain, is kayak.com. And so as you were describing, Barry, as you're waiting for Kayak to deliver possible flights for you, you're seeing at the same time, we're searching the following airfare sites. You're seeing something that looks like a mechanical flip chart going through the various websites that are being searched. It's showing you now we're getting results from AirTran, from Orbitz, from Midwest Airlines. And at the same time, you're seeing the results as they come in. So you're seeing the fruits of the labor that's being conducted on your behalf. So if you contrast that, which is much more similar, by the way, to what we would have experienced in older times when we would have gone to a travel agent and watched them working on our behalf to put together a customized itinerary. If you contrast that with a progress bar, which is often the way that we think about managing waits in an online context, really, there's no transparency. We're not seeing what's going on behind the screen, and the consumer is really just left thinking, wow, this wait is an inconvenience, not a value-producing experience. Whereas when we actually see the work that's being done, the consumer then has the ability to think, wow, this is actually saving me a great deal of time and creating a lot of value on my behalf.
But, of course, it is illusion, a labor illusion, like the famous painting, ce n'est pas un pipe, this painting is not a pipe.
Well, so in the travel context, the answer is it depends. So in the case of kayak.com, where they're literally conducting a separate search for each customer that comes to their website, given the idiosyncratic nature of the travel itineraries people are searching for, and also the legacy systems that airlines have that need to be used in order to book a flight. And so given that airline prices are changing all the time for the same flight, they actually need to reinitiate a new search every time, and they need to conduct that labor. But the reality is that in other contexts, so Orbitz, for example, or some other websites, they wouldn't need to do the same thing. They would be able to rely on their own internal databases to be able to deliver the value. And so in those cases, slowing things down and being more transparent about what's going on behind the scenes may in fact be a labor illusion.
Let me remind our listeners that this is a Science of Better with Barry List of Informs. Our guests today are Ryan Buell and Michael Norton of Harvard, who are discussing their study, The Labor Illusion, which appears in the September issue of the Informs Journal of Management Science. Not to belabor the point, but in your introduction you compare the what you see on screen to making a withdrawal from a bank with a teller versus making a withdrawal from an ATM. Would you like to spell that out for us a little bit?
Yeah, I think, I used to be a bank teller back when I was in high school, so the example is particularly painfully salient to me because I was a terrible bank teller. So people would come in and they'd have stacks of checks and cash and they would have them all in a pile and they wanted to make a deposit. And I would fumble through them and sort of sweat my way through it and make a lot of mistakes. And they weren't very happy with my service, as my manager told me, but they saw that at least I was trying very hard to work for them. So even though I wasn't even doing a good job, they knew that the bank was really trying to work and do things for them and getting stuff done. Now contrast that to they have the same pile of checks and cash and all of these things. Now they walk up to an ATM, they basically just slide the things in, it reads the checks for them, you touch the screen a few times with your finger, it takes 30 seconds and you're done. People clearly would be happier with that than they would be with me, you would think, except again, what you're losing is the idea that the bank is doing anything for you. It feels like this magical machine is doing all of the work, and then when they charge you a fee for the ATM, you say, how dare they? They've done nothing for me. All they did was set up this computer. I refuse to pay fees. At least when there was a person inside, you had the inference, well, that person has to make a salary, so I guess they have to charge me fees on my accounts. Very similar logic where you, as soon as you lose the person there, you start to feel as though the service is too easy and maybe inexpensive for the company, and therefore it's too expensive for you.
One result of your research that's certainly surprising is that sometimes people actually prefer a longer wait over faster service. Why is that? Or to maybe paraphrase, in which kinds of instances do people prefer to wait longer to getting their product immediately?
So the inference would be that businesses compete in the real world, and so it could very well be the case that just because we see that in our experiments, customers that are having one-off experiences report being more satisfied when they've experienced a wait and seen the work conducted on their behalf, it could very well be that if one company delivers instantaneous results to you and another makes you wait and shows you the work that went into creating those results, even when the results are identical, you would always pick the instantaneous outcome. Now, we found the opposite in our results, that actually when customers are given a choice between two competing services, and this is, again, in the travel domain, that the majority of customers will opt for the option that was transparent about the labor being conducted, that showed them the process that led to the result, and over a competing service that delivered the same result instantaneously. Now, we believe that this has to do with the perceptions of effort that operational transparency engenders in individuals. So our results would suggest that operational transparency increases your perceived effort. So you see the work that's being conducted on your behalf, and you perceive that more effort is being created or going into the process of creating value for you. That those perceptions of effort increase feelings of reciprocity and gratitude, which in turn drive increased perceptions of value, and then in turn higher customer satisfaction, higher retention as well. So the idea is that when we have the opportunity to see the work that's being conducted for us, we perceive more effort, and we appreciate that effort, and then we reward the firm with higher valuations and greater loyalty.
It's almost like there's a true relationship going on here and not just man and machine.
Absolutely.
You conducted experiments in two online industries, online travel booking and online dating. How did you come to pick these two industries?
So online travel seemed like a natural place to start just because we saw this contrast that was going on in the real world between what firms like Orbitz and Expedia would do using progress bars and marketing messages while you were waiting, and what Kayak did, which was to show you the work that was being conducted in the background while you were waiting. So for travel, it seemed like a good place to start just because we had ready examples in the world of where we saw different approaches. Online dating was the second option, or the second domain, and we wound up choosing online dating because as we got deeper into our investigation and saw what we perceived to be counterintuitive results in terms of how operational transparency could reduce the effects of waiting, or reverse for a time the effects of waiting on satisfaction, we began to wonder, well, what would happen if is the effect of operational transparency so strong that customers would even report being more satisfied if the subjective favorability of the outcome was diminished? So if the outcome of the service was poorer, would someone who saw the work that went into creating that outcome report being more satisfied and perceive the service itself to be more valuable?
And we'll look a little bit at that particular experiment in a moment. Dr. Norton.
I was just going to say, I would also just chime in. One of the reasons to pick online dating is it's a domain that you can imagine people caring a great deal about the person that the website suggests. So it's, you know, finding a partner for life is probably the most important thing that people do. And you'd think they would be uniquely sensitive to the quality of the person that the website said is good for you, rather than the process that the website appears to be going through. So why would you care how I found you your soulmate, as long as I found you your soulmate? We wanted to see if, in fact, even in this domain, people would still care about the process underlying the selection and also care a little bit about who came out of it.
Now, I was impressed. You weren't content to do just one experiment. You undertook five different ones, which suggests that you're incredibly thorough. Let's briefly look at a few of them. The first one compared people booking travel and seeing a standard dull progress bar versus the more elaborate animation like the Kayak website. Do you want to explain how that experiment worked in a nutshell?
Sure. So we built this simulated online travel website, and subjects, we had 266 of them, that interacted with the website to book a flight from Boston to Los Angeles. So we gave them the dates that they needed to travel and some search parameters that they would use to interact with the website. They would then enter their information, like we're so familiar with from our own experiences in booking online travel. And then subjects were randomly assigned to one of a number of conditions. So some subjects just received instantaneous results right away. They saw all of the possible tickets immediately. Others were randomly assigned to waiting conditions. Those waiting conditions were varied in length from 10 to 60 seconds. And some of the subjects who waited waited in what we call the blind condition, which was really just a progress bar condition, where while they were waiting, they saw a progress bar. Others waited in the operational transparency condition, where in addition to the progress bar, they also saw the labor being conducted on their behalf, where the website was searching, and the fruits of its labor as it was appearing. So they could actually see the value being created for them. And then those subjects in the waiting condition also received outcomes, and everyone's outcomes were identical. And then following that experience, we asked a number of questions to ask to assess the subject's perceptions of service value.
And this was the experiment where you found out your kind of core information about the value of operational transparency.
Absolutely. So there are a couple of interesting things come out of this. So one big finding is just the main effect of operational transparency, that for every wait duration, subjects were statistically more satisfied or perceived a higher service value in the operational transparency condition relative to the blind condition. So seeing the labor at every duration from 10 seconds to 60 seconds increased perceptions of service value. But a second thing that came out of it that Mike and I thought was especially interesting was what happened when we compared both of those conditions to instantaneous service. So instantaneous service delivery, which conventional wisdom would suggest would be the thing that would yield the highest perceptions of value, actually paled in comparison to both of them. If we looked at the points of indifference, people who waited instantaneously reported perceptions of value that were equal to people in the blind condition who waited for 25 seconds, and that were equal to people in the operational transparency condition who waited for 55 seconds. Which is an eternity on the internet.
This is Barry List of Informs, and you're listening to a Science of Better podcast with Harvard's Ryan Buell and Michael Norton. The second experiment kind of confirmed this. The preference for operational transparency to speed?
Right. So the idea with the second experiment is we really just wanted to see if, when given a choice, will subjects still choose operational transparency over instantaneous service. So in this one, subjects interacted with two competing travel websites, websites that were identical in every way except that one of the websites delivered instantaneous service and the other made subjects wait. Now, some of those who waited in a blind state, and others who waited in an operational transparency state. And we saw that choice was very much in favor of waiting with operational transparency over instantaneous service.
Now, I want to skip a couple of the experiments and get to online dating, which obviously is something that is on the minds of lots of people. How did that experiment work? You talked about it a little bit before, and tell us again what you were trying to find out.
Sure. So the idea with the online dating study was just to ask, how does outcome favorability impact the effect of operational transparency on perceived value? So the idea is that in the real world, so often service outcomes vary in subjective favorability. So with flights, you know, what may seem like an expensive flight to me may seem like less of an expensive flight to a professor like Mike. But in online dating, one of the really interesting things is that subjective outcome favorability is something that we can manipulate experimentally. So we wanted to see, how does outcome favorability impact the effect of operational transparency on perceived value? So we began with a pretest where we pretested 40 photos of men and women for attractiveness. And then those that were rated the most attractive for a particular gender were considered favorable outcomes. Those closest to the middle were average outcomes. And those at the bottom of the list were considered unfavorable outcomes.
So you weren't doing anything subjective here. You were working in the way that a market researcher might have done this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then we essentially constructed a very similar study design to our very first main effect study, where the subject would initiate a search on the website discussing the attributes they were looking for in their perfect match. So they interacted with the website and did their part of the service. Then they entered into a waiting condition. Some subjects waited with operational transparency where they could see the work that was being conducted by the site. Others waited with just a progress bar, and others received instantaneous results. And then we varied outcome favorability. So in each condition, we had some subjects who received favorable outcomes, some received average outcomes, and some received unfavorable outcomes. And the interesting thing that came out of this is that in the average and favorable outcome conditions, the patterns were exactly like we had seen before, where operational transparency was significantly better than the blind conditions, and better than and for short waits, better than instantaneous service delivery.
So even in a situation like dating, which is highly emotional and you have strong feelings, you could see that giving people the look of what was going on was going to turn out for the best.
Exactly. So this isn't something that's just specific to the online travel domain. Moving to dating gave us the ability to look beyond online travel and into a very different type of service experience to see if operational transparency would generalize. The interesting thing from our perspective, though, was that in the unfavorable outcome conditions, the effect was reversed, that showing customers the operations that went into delivering an unfavorable outcome diminished their perceptions of service value. And I think the way that we think about this is, you know, you worked so hard, you showed me all the effort that you put into delivering a result, and this was the best you could do, makes a customer question how valuable the service actually is. You know, you must not be very good at your job.
So if test subjects have an absolutely wonderful waiting experience but aren't attracted to the photo of their potential date, they're not going to give you an A for effort.
Exactly.
And in fact, you could imagine that all it does is make them feel terrible about themselves. So this website carefully searched everyone in the entire universe, and nobody matches with me except this horribly weird-looking person.
So there's something kind of subtle going on there, and the tenderness of feelings when it comes to emotions of
That's right.
Dating and meeting somebody. We only have time for one or two more questions. In the last section of your paper, you write that your findings shed light on the hidden costs of strategies employed by firms to infuse technology into service operations. What are these hidden costs that you were writing about?
Sure. So I think that the general idea when an operations manager will implement a self-service technology is this is a great way to reduce the costs of service. So thinking about an ATM transaction, that will cost less than 2 cents, or that will cost less than a quarter versus a face-to-face transaction, which will cost more than a dollar. It makes a lot of sense just from that perspective to try and send your customers to as many automated interactions with your firm as possible. But to the extent that automated interactions diminish the relationship between the company and the firm, or the customer and the firm, these strategies may have long-term costs. And this work highlights one of the ways that that cost manifests itself in the erosion of perceptions of service value that customers who are now shielded from the complexities of a firm's operation experience.
So to sum up, in what situations is increasing operational transparency preferable to investing in the reduction of service delivery time?
So I think there are a couple of times when it makes a lot of sense. So one is that as firms, say in face-to-face settings, for example, as firms reduce waiting time, often it's a nonlinear cost. It becomes more expensive to reduce the costs of waiting as waiting time diminishes. And so to the extent that revealing aspects of the process, showing customers what it is that's contributing to the wait, but also what it is that's creating their value, is one way of boosting perceptions of value while they're waiting and making the wait seem less onerous. So certainly just a general cost frame is one way of thinking about it. Another thing that we think is worth considering is, what are the aspects of the process that you're revealing? So is it an appealing process that you're revealing? We experience all the time, for example, restaurants that have open kitchens. And so people enjoy the culture of cooking. They like knowing what's going on in the kitchen. And to the extent that the kitchen itself is a hygienic kitchen, one that's something that we would find enjoyable to watch, then showing customers that that process is probably something that will be positive for their experience and boost their perceptions of value. We can imagine operational processes that would be less appealing to share with customers. And so certainly that's another managerial consideration as well.
Professor Norton, let's give you the final word. What additional industries besides travel and online dating can learn from the results of this study?
In fact, one of the, I'm not sure if we'd call it an industry, but one of the areas that Ryan and I have been thinking about exploring and we're designing initial in studies is to think about applying these same principles to government. So there's some interesting research suggesting that even people who use government services fairly regularly don't self-identify as having used government services. And the idea there is we're just a little bit unaware of how much the government does for us on a daily basis. So we look outside and we see a road that has a pothole, and we say the government is terrible, and we forget that the government made the entire road and the entire interstate highway system and that we drive on them every day. So we focus on the breakdowns rather than all of the services that government does for us every single day, and we're designing some studies to try to get people to think about how much the government does, and one way to do that is using some of the same insights that we've used before, where we show people, in some sense, all the labor the government is doing on their behalf, and then see if we can change their attitudes towards government.
Well, that's a fascinating direction to take your research into, and one that perhaps we'll be able to study, that we'll be able to talk about in the future. That's all the time we have today. We've been talking with Ryan W. Buell and Professor Michael I. Norton, the authors of a study entitled The Labor Illusion, that appears in the current issue of the Informs Journal Management Science. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Science at Better podcast by Informs, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. For more about operations research and the series of podcasts, visit us on the web at www.informs.org. Good day, and remember, keep on crunching those numbers.